This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Afternoon, Melvin.
Yes, you're in the escape pod on Joy 94.9, and this afternoon is the amazing Musketeer trio of Mark Adams, Russ Masterton, and Joe Pryor. In the escape pod this afternoon, we are delighted to welcome Liana Slepetsky.
You got it in one.
Oh, two.
Slepetsky, hard to say, hard to forget.
Unforgettable Slepetsky.
Welcome to the Escape Pod, Liana. Thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you for inviting me, and I will say hello and dobry den.
Well, you've given the name away then, haven't you? Because you can tell that Ms. Liana is going to talk to us about all things Ukrainian and Ukraine.
Excellent. Thank you for saying Ukraine and not the Ukraine. I'm very impressed.
So where does that come from? Because Slavic languages don't have the.
Exactly. Well, it's a really derogatory way of referring to Ukraine. Yes, it stems back to the Soviet Union. So, you know, if you remember, lots of countries were taken over by big bad Russia. Mm-hmm. And to put the in front of a country makes it sound like it's the state of the USSR. So since Ukraine's had its independence for over 25 years, it is just Ukraine.
We can go with that.
And Liana, tell us, you are from Ukraine, or you have a Ukraine background. What's the Ukraine influence for you?
Okay, well, I like to call myself Ukrainian Australian. I was born here, but my parents were 5 and 6 when they came out, and we were raised very much Ukrainian. A lot of my friends went through similar upbringings: Ukrainian Saturday school, dancing, political events, demonstrations. So we used to call it brainwashing, but now we say we feel it in our hearts and our souls, and especially everything that's been going on in Ukraine.
Where is the Ukrainian community in Melbourne?
Well, they're actually quite spread out, and they usually centre around community centres and churches. So there's a big community in the Essendon area where there's a credit co-op. We have a 7,000-member credit co-op. We have a church there and a hall. St Albans, around Noble Park, also Dandenong Springvale. There's also a community, a very big active community in Geelong, Newborough. Mm. So in Victoria, they're quite spread. They went where the work was when they came here to Australia.
And did you enjoy those extracurricular activities as a child?
No. No one did.
Did you enjoy the extra schooling on the weekend?
Oh, I loved going to school on Saturday. No.
But obviously, it formed the cornerstone of the community. The people in a non-Ukrainian language environment could get together and speak language, communicate over food, talk about gossip, about each other behind their back, all that kind of fun stuff we love to do that builds a community. What was the number one thing that you took from that?
Well, yes, it is a sense of community. And look, we all rebelled against it when we were young. But I think anyone who went to Ukrainian school and can speak the language now is thankful for it. Mm. And you know what? Australia has been so welcoming of so many nationalities that, you know, we're this melting pot of, you know, multiculturalism. And, you know, Ukrainians now have been here for over 60 years, and they can certainly show a lot of the new immigrants how to set up your communities, how to be Australian, you know, with your background still intact. So, yeah.
And was there a major issue that brought so many Ukrainians to Australia?
Yes, it was. It's pretty much what's happening in Ukraine now was happening, you know, in the 40s. My grandparents and a lot of their generation came here just to escape communism because they couldn't be Ukrainians in their own homeland. A lot of them left and went to immigrant camps in Germany thinking they'd go back, the situation did not change. Australia was very forward-thinking then and offered a lot of packages where people could get a passage out here and then work it off. So,
Snowy River kind of thing?
Snowy River. Mm. There was also down in Summers. So a lot of women and children ended up in camps in Bonegilla, and the men came to work. Sorry, I get quite emotional actually because, you know, the men left for a year or two to earn money to pay off the passage here. And, you know, Australia got immigration pretty right then, you know, and people came here legitimately and were able to rebuild their lives. And I guess, you know, first and foremost, a lot of them didn't speak English. So they were in a very foreign country. It looked very different to the normal sort of, you know, forests that they were used to. But they rebuilt and they were very, you know, close-knit about it.
And your parents, Leanna, whereabouts in Australia did they come to first then?
They came, well, a lot of them, as I said, ended up in New South Wales, in Bonegilla, but then there was work offered here in Victoria. So, yeah, my parents actually met through the Ukrainian community, as did a lot of Ukrainians who then married and, you know, and then had children. So we were raised in a sort of, I guess, a very Ukrainian environment, but we did go to Saturday school and English school. Actually, I remember I didn't speak Ukrainian when I went to school. So in kindergarten, Mrs. Popjoy, if you're listening, my kindergarten teacher, Mrs. Popjoy, said to my mother, Mrs. Slepetsky, if your girls can't speak English now, don't you ever expect them to excel at English? So I graduated from Melbourne University majoring in English literature. So Mrs. Popjoy, I did learn English.
So how do you say truck you in Ukrainian?
Oh, actually, there is no word for, there's no F word in Ukrainian, by the way. It's quite a clean, civilised language.
Right, how do you say joy?
Joy. Радість.
Radio Радість.
Yay!
Everyone's going to think this is SBS, which we know is the soccer broadcasting station. So we're going to go for a couple of messages. We're going to hear a lovely track that you brought in. What's your first track that you want us to...
I don't know. Which one should I go with? Well,
you have to tell me so I can play it.
Well, look, I'll tell you. There's something a lot of people don't know about me, but Russ does. I'm stuck in the 70s.
So I think Funky Town is going to come on.
No. Well, look, it's my first time here. So how about we go with Foreigner from 1977? Feels like the first time.
I've missed my favourite show on Joy. What do I do? What do I do?
Podcasters to battle!
Joy podcasters fight on tirelessly to bring you the best bits of every show. So if you've missed something recently on Joy, don't worry, our podcasters have your back. Head to joy.org.au and click on the podcast tab or look us up on iTunes. Podcasters on Joy 94.9, fighting tirelessly for your listening pleasure.
And you're in the Escape Pod on Joy 94.9. It's 18 minutes past two, and that was Feeling Like the First Time. Well, we have got some Joy members who have renewed.
Hopefully not for the first time.
Well, exactly right, because there's nothing you do at Joy for the first time. Once you've done it, you're completely
addicted. We're pretty experienced
addicted.
Around here.
So Brandon,
it's our crowd.
It is. Brandon of Toorak, thank you very, very much. Chris of East Melbourne, a very big thank you to you. And Damien of Heathmont, a heartfelt thank you.
Hello.
Hello.
Leanna, how do you say Joy Radio again in Ukrainian?
Radio Radist.
Oh, I love that
accent.
You've
got to get the
R. Rolling your R's all over the office.
Sounds like we're in Eurovision, doesn't it?
I can do a very good Eastern European accent.
That reminds me, Joe, Kiev was in Eurovision a few years ago. Wasn't it held there, Leanna?
Yes, it was, but more famous than that is the fact that Ukraine did win Eurovision in 2004. We had Ruslana, there's another R for you, with her song Wild Dancers.
Yes, and they were wild
were
dancers,
they?
Weren't
yes.
they?
Apparently she broke the floor in rehearsal because they do a lot of stomping. And yes.
Is this cultural or traditional?
Well, actually, her song...
Or was she just going off like a frog in a sock?
Yeah, a bit like that too. But her song has a lot of influence from the Carpathian Mountains. Yes, so there's lots of different regions in Ukraine, and you can hear an instrument in there called a trembita, which is like a really long didgeridoo. And it's a fantastic song, and I've actually brought it in today, so maybe we'll hear it a bit later. But Ruslana was also very, very active in the 2013 Maidan, which was the revolution recently in Ukraine, where they overthrew
Maidan Square.
Yes, that's right.
Is there a lot of Arabic influence in Slavic language, because Maidan is the Arabic word for a square.
Oh, is it? I didn't know that. No, not as far as I know. But she was she was very
what a coinky dink.
She was very involved politically. She actually gave away her career to support the Orange Revolution, which was the first time that Ukraine had declared its independence. So she's very well respected, not only as a pop artist, but a patriot of Ukraine.
Was the Orange Revolution with Yuliana
Tymoshenko, yes, and Yushchenko. And look, that was Ukraine's first foray into independence. It didn't quite go the way that it should have because there was a lot of corruption.
But she was a very pioneering leader, wasn't she, Yuliana Tymoshenko?
She was, but still old school. You know, it's still the old guard, the old regime. You know, what Ukraine's looking for is they're looking to the West. They're looking to, and they are very European-minded. So the hope now, and it's a very exciting time in Ukraine, which is why travel there is so exciting. You know, Ukrainians want democracy. They don't want to live under the old Soviet banner. They have always been.
They don't like Putin on the Ritz.
No, nobody likes Putin.
We don't like Putin at Joy, do we, guys?
Anyway, so talking about the Ritz, what kind of hotel accommodation is really strong in Ukraine?
Well, look, there's a lot of major chains moving in there. Mm-hmm. However, you know, if you
is it a pension culture where?
Look, if you really want to experience Ukraine, to rent an apartment is really the way to go. And that's what my sister and I chose to do when we went in 2013. Obviously, Airbnb is quite big over there.
Is it really? So the sharing economy is...
Yes. Yes, it is. So, you know, Ukraine's now got a lot of investment there and people have money to renovate, to do up their apartments. In Kyiv, my sister and I stayed in a lovely apartment. It was very central. So it's very price competitive. It's a lot cheaper than the hotels. And, I mean, you're out most of the day anyway. So to be able to cook, you know, come somewhere and cook and actually do some washing. So my recommendation would be through Airbnb. But because I know a lot of Ukrainians, we also sort of talk amongst ourselves. Somebody knows someone. So I did not stay in a lot of hotels and I probably wouldn't again. But, you know, if people feel safer, there's all levels. There's 5-star, there's, you know, quite basic accommodation as well.
And you obviously do need to save some of those pennies because there's a... there's a way of sightseeing, I understand, in Ukraine, whether it be in a city landscape or even if it is actually mountaineering, that involves requiring several pairs of high heels.
What?
Well, yes.
They're not into barefoot running at all, are they?
No, they're not.
And Ukrainian women are very glamorous.
Yes, they are. And I have to say that the most glamorous women, and getting back to your comment about high heels, is in Western Ukraine, in Lviv. And Lviv is like the Paris of Ukraine. And they have a lot of small cobblestoned pathways, but that does not deter the women from popping on the strappy high heels and walking along. I think if I was actually a physiotherapist in Ukraine, I'd make a lot of money.
Orthopedic
on the side. Oh, yeah, that one. You know, when you must be a lot of sprained ankles there. My sister and I were in awe of them. They just power on over those uneven paths. So, yes, Ukrainian women do like to look nice when they go out.
Now, Liana, what is it about Ukrainian women? Why are they so gorgeous?
Oh, I don't know, maybe.
And the blokes are easy on the eye too.
They are, but they all have man bags. You know that, don't you?
Oh, now there's...
For their high heels?
They have high heels and man bags. Every man in the Ukraine has a man bag.
Oh, you just said that Ukraine, so that's a dollar
in
the
swear
jar.
I'm not allowed to talk for the rest of the show.
Russ!
I'm going to catch you out.
That's a trap for young players.
Well, yes, actually, that's something my sister and I noticed, the man bags. A lot of men there have, you know, the little...
Are they all Adidas?
No, the little black leather pouches.
Fanny pack?
Something like that. Over here to be... considered quite effeminate, I guess, for a heterosexual male. But no,
Knight.
It's a... Yes, Cal Knight. Got it in one.
Cal Knight's
key. So I made a photo collage of the man bags of Ukraine.
Do they have little wrist straps on
them? Some have wrist straps. Some are just carry, you know, clutch style.
Next time you go, will you bring me one back?
I'll have to source one for you, Russ.
Thank you.
Yes, but getting back to why the Ukrainian women are so beautiful, look, I don't know. You'd have to ask the men, I guess. But I have to admit, as a woman going to Ukraine, I did notice women are not just pretty, they do shine. There's something about them. What's that song from the 70s or 80s? You know, the Ukraine girls really knock me out.
Really?
There you go. Someone
I thought those Californian girls by...
Oh, well...
Who's that racist who did that song? I forgot his name.
Someone with a lot of hair.
Something like that.
David Lee Roth, was it?
David Lee Roth, yes. Wish they all could be Ukrainian. Is that it?
No.
So... with the beauty, the aesthetic qualities of the ladies from Ukraine, they obviously have a little tendency towards Eurotrash fashion.
Oh, yes, Eurotrash. I don't know what it is. Maybe because they've, I don't know, been closed up by the Soviet Union, all of a sudden now they can spread their wings and fly. But when we were shopping, you'd see a dress and you'd sort of gravitate towards it and you'd turn it around and it'd have sequins and buttons and bows. And it's, yes, it's this sort of style I can't put my finger on. So my sister and I dubbed it, yeah, Eurotrash. It's, you know, it's sort of sparkly and right out there. But I've just brought something in I'd like to show you, which is probably...
Unleash the hounds. What have we
got? Oh,
I'm going to pop it on Russ. I'm holding...
I love all things floral, I do.
Yes, I'm holding a floral...
Well, this is a good thing, Russ.
A floral garland. It's called a vinok. And single women wear this, and it's in, you know, in Ukrainian culture and tradition. It's part of the Ukrainian national costume.
So what do married women wear? A black veil?
A scarf.
Yeah. I've always fancied myself as a
and
single
a scowl.
Woman.
But the beauty of it, it really frames your face. So, you know, to accentuate a Ukrainian female's beauty.
And we have Russ for that?
Yes, Russ can model it. Oh, no, you can't say. Oh,
and it's the cheekbones, I think. Mm.
Oh, he's
Ukrainian
looking
okay, do I?
Yeah, he's looking
brings out the red under your eyes.
Yes, and it's got a lot of the traditional flowers in there that grow wild in Ukraine, which is poppies and...
cornflowers.
Cornflowers, you've got that. Yes, we've got a bit of wheat there as well.
Do you think I'll meet someone tonight out on the town dressed in this?
No.
Well, Ukraine is known as the food bowl, isn't it, of Europe. And I was wondering, when Ukrainians emigrated to Australia, was that where their skill base was, agriculture, or was it in a mixture of professions?
A mixture of professions. I always remember my grandmother saying, if it wasn't for Ukrainians, Australia wouldn't know about unsalted butter. I don't know why she said
that. Ooh, that's a bit
controversial.
But look, it was a mixed base because my great grandfather was a lawyer. You know, and a lot of people came here and became cleaners or took what
did
they
the work
could.
That was available.
Did the work that was available? Yeah. Yes, yeah. My other grandfather was a landscape artist, and he ended up digging sewers here and a lot of the around Dandenong area. But yes, Ukraine is known as the breadbasket of Europe, and it has very, very rich soil. So wheat is a
real
farming
symbol. Practices.
A lot of farming, a lot of agriculture. Yes.
Got a quick question in from one of our listeners. And sorry, I can't mention your name because it didn't come up on the SMS. Only your phone number did. Ends in 255. And thank you very much for SMSing in. What kind of ladies were we talking about? And is Ukraine very lesbian friendly? We're going to actually come back and talk about LGBTIQ rights in Ukraine and how things work for travellers especially and the people who are in the area. So stick with us all afternoon on Joy 94.9. Thank you very much for your message. We do appreciate that. And we're going to find out if Ukraine can be lesbian friendly. Mm. You're on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 has a huge range of programs available for podcast. In fact, Joy is one of the largest podcasting communities on community radio. If you haven't checked out our podcasting service, you're missing out. Visit joy.org.au, click on the podcast tab, and you'll find a list of Joy programs regularly sharing the best interviews, news, and reviews. There's tens of thousands of hours for you to enjoy, so check it out now. joy.org.au.
Talking about other fun facts, we've had an SMS in from a wonderful listener whose name wasn't on their SMS, but their phone number ends in 317. Thank you for this. Fun fact, Andrew Alexander. We had a gay Liberal MP who was a Ukrainian in Victoria.
Very
Andrew
nice.
Alexander.
Now I've learned
there
something.
We go. But we do know that it is a country... amongst a bunch of other countries, that it's not necessarily a pride flag waving part of the world, and there's progress yet to be had. And one of the questions we had before is, you know, is it very lesbian friendly? The thing is, it's not necessarily, and things are changing. And with Russia's politics, they could change the other way. So what's your take on LGBTIQ friendly parts of the Ukraine? And how
Ukraine, dollar in the swear jar.
It's so hard. They've just been suppressed for so long.
I'm not the only one. I'm glad I'm not the only
one. No, you're not.
I've made $2 so far.
So let's talk about what it's like for gay people who live there in Ukraine. And then what about travellers? And is there a threat, or is it something that's accessible?
Sure. Well, look, to be quite frank, you know, Ukraine's got bigger fish to fry at the moment, and they're number one.
Survival.
Well, yeah, you know, to break away from Russia, from the old regime, and really reinvigorate democracy in Ukraine. So, you know, let's park that for a minute. So I guess when I travelled there in 2013, there is open discussion now happening about the community, about homosexuality, about gays, lesbians. However, being dominated by Russia for so many years, you know, they've been living in this under a rock. And certainly
everybody's been living under a rock, regardless of sexual preference.
Yes, exactly. So Ukraine does have the ability to move away from that. And we've certainly seen it, or I personally witnessed it with the younger generation, you know, the generation that gets to leave Ukraine and be educated or work. And there's a lot more tolerance and understanding. It's really, I'd say, older generations that don't quite understand it. You've got to remember also Ukraine's a very spiritual country, very religious.
I was going to say,
yes,
Orthodox.
The church is very important in schooling and all throughout the communities. Yes. The Orthodox Church has.
You have Orthodox and you have Catholic. So Western part of Ukraine is more dominated by Catholicism and the East by Orthodox.
It's worrying when the Catholic part of the country is the open minded part.
Well, I can't say that because I am Ukrainian Catholic. So, but. I certainly, you know, I was just saying to Russ before, it's actually, you know, for people travelling to Ukraine, I don't think that that's an issue that they have to worry about. Obviously, travelling to East Ukraine at the moment where you've got a war going on, that's probably a no-go zone.
Getting shot in the face is probably a bigger issue.
Yeah, exactly. But I really don't believe. See, Ukrainians are a very tolerant nation. And actually, I went to a community event last night. We have a parliamentarian here from Ukraine and she made a comment. Ah. You know, if Ukraine survived the Stalin years, Ukraine can survive anything. So, you know, it's a very resilient, tolerant, strong, spiritual nation and they are very open-minded. So as far as travelling, as you know, for the homosexual community, gays, lesbians, transgender.
So in essence, what you're saying is to stay away from the East, which would be Sevastopol, Crimea, Odessa. Would you stay away from Odessa?
I wouldn't stay away from Odessa, but, you know, some people are a bit nervous. Obviously, Donetsk Airport is no longer. So a lot where the...
you're not landing there.
No. That's actually gone down to just concrete now.
That's terrible.
Yeah. So Mariupol, you know, a lot of that sort of Donbass region where there's a lot of infighting, obviously you would not travel there. But, you know, I still have relatives in the Dnipropetrovsk, which is difficult to say, and I would travel there even though that's in eastern Ukraine. I mean, you just have to be smart about it. There's war zones everywhere in the world.
What are the beautiful parts of the West that...
I have to say, I travelled with my sister to the East first, and that was a bit hard going because it's very sort of Russian influenced. So when we landed in Lviv, I could exhale because that's the Ukraine I know and I love. And
that's the blue and yellow.
Oh, that's the blue and yellow, flag waving, patriotic, salt of the earth, you know, lots of poets and, you know, culture and,
you know,
music,
literature,
theatre, opera. And so we spent a week in Lviv and that's, it's like I said before, it's the Paris of the West.
And potentially where the arts flourish is where we're going to find more people from the gay, lesbian community because things are a little bit more relaxed and there is a more liberal outlook.
Yes, and on that side of Ukraine, you know, you've got access to a lot of countries, so very easy to get to Poland, Germany, you know, the Czech Republic, Slovakia. They're all sort of on the border with Ukraine. So access to other parts of Europe from Ukraine on the western side is very easy.
Well, I found that quite interesting when I was doing my travel homework this week, that a train trip from Warsaw to Kiev is only 8 hours, or from Budapest to Kiev is only 10 hours. So it's quite doable in a day.
And there's a great train that goes from Kyiv to Lviv. It's very, very modern. It's quite luxurious. Unlike the train that I made my sister take from Kyiv down to the east. Oh, my God.
How long does the train trip take, actually, from Kyiv to Lviv?
Oh, to Lviv? Oh, I haven't done that trip, but I think it's about 5 hours. Don't quote me on it.
So you don't have to do it overnight. You can do it.
Yeah, you can do it during the day. Yeah, but there is still some very sort of Soviet style old trains, and they're I wouldn't recommend them. Look, I'd go on it once for the experience. The black tea on there is very good and sweet. Yes.
Now, language, getting around Ukraine or around the probably the Western part is what we'd be really thinking.
Central and Western, yeah.
So how is it getting around with English as your only language? Are there any other languages spoken apart from Ukrainian and Russian?
Well, yes, Ukrainian and Russian are obviously the main languages. Mm. However, you know, getting around with English is better now than it was because we have a lot of people who are educated outside of Ukraine, learning English there. So you can definitely get by, you know, and obviously everyone has a translator. So it's English, they're really encouraging to be used more in Ukraine. They can see the benefits.
So would you recommend if you're going to visit some cities in Ukraine to hire a translator to come with you or to just catch up with them in the different cities?
Look, that's a great idea, actually, because I remember doing a tour of one of the Pechersk Lavra, actually, which is some caves built under a monastery, and the tour guide was going to speak in Russian. So my sister and I said, well, we're not doing that because I don't understand it, nor do I want to.
Well, how different is Russian and Ukrainian?
Very different. Very, very different, yeah.
French and Italian different or Chinese and Arabic different?
I don't know.
Can you understand a bit?
Look, I can understand it, but I have to listen very closely. They are both Cyrillic languages, but Ukrainian is a much softer sounding language. So Russian's sort of a bit more harsh. Like that, you know.
Smirnov.
So they are very different languages.
I think it's a little bit like with the vodka. The vodka that you have in Ukraine has got some pepper and some honey. Mm. The vodka that you get from Russia just
has spikes and
as it is.
Failure. Our Russian listeners are not going to be thrilled with us today.
Now, Liana,
we've gone a little partisan, haven't we?
Liana, Mark, Joe or myself, gorgeous gay and lesbian people, you take us to the Ukraine. Where?
Oh, see, that's
where
another dollar. That's $3, Russ. That's two for you and
I'm going to get kicked out of this studio in a minute. Where are you going to take
you can nearly afford a bottle of vodka.
Yeah.
$3 for a bottle of vodka in Ukraine?
Yeah. Where would I take you?
Yes, we want to go to a gorgeous part of the Ukraine where we're going to see gorgeous gay and lesbian people.
Before you actually reply, Liana, while you're just putting together that itinerary, we're going to have some other people who are going to join us on this trip. We're going to have Kerry of Clorinda and Claudia of Reservoir and Stephen of Brunswick, who are all new members of Joy. They're coming as well.
Right.
So now there's six of us.
And Kerry wants to also say, I love Joy and I love Anita on Sunday mornings, Women on Waves. We all love Anita on Women on Waves.
We do. Thank you,
Kerry. Any other messages? No.
That's enough because
Kerry,
this tour group is getting quite large.
We're like a small tour group.
We're going to have to take
Anita from Women and Waves. Otherwise, Kerry won't be happy with us.
That's true. So let's go. Where are we going?
Okay, well, we've all just got off our business class flight.
We like that already.
That's Joe's coming.
Yep. Right, okay.
Joe only travels business class.
So I think it makes sense to fly into the capital, Kyiv. And by the way, Kyiv, it's not spelt K-I-E. Anymore. It is actually K-Y-I-V. That is the correct way to pronounce it and to spell it. And
there's no chicken.
No, that's it. I'm going to bust that myth right now. There is no chicken Kyiv. It's not Ukrainian. It never was. Somebody discovered chicken and stuck some garlic and butter in there. It's not Ukrainian.
That was
very
clever.
Yes. Okay. So we arrive in Kyiv and I think we should just park ourselves
like a
there.
Chicken
Kyiv. Yeah, so the capital. That's where we'd first stay and look, lots of museums, lots of art, fantastic little markets, quirky markets, good restaurants. If you like the nightlife too, there's a lot of clubs
Hold
there.
Hold that thought. Mm. We want to hear about how we throw down when we get to Ukraine.
Excellent.
Can I have my dollar back now?
I'll give you three for a bottle of vodka.
Here are some benefits you could gain by becoming a Joy 94.9 sponsor. Increase awareness of your product. Increase your customer base. Increase your profits so you can afford that new item you've had your eye on. You know the one I mean. Gregory sponsors Joy and now his business is just peachy. Isn't that so, Gregory?
Yes, well, I've
had... Wonderful. Dial today. 1-300-JOY-949. Or send your mail electronically. sales@joy.org.au. That's A-U as in A-U. Sponsor Joy.
Talking about poles apart... That was a stab at sort of Eastern European geography.
Bit of segue.
We've got to Kyiv, haven't we?
We got to Kyiv and with Joe, Russ and Mark on a skate pod today.
Yes.
And our guest.
And we've got Stephen, Kerry and Claudia.
Stephen, Kerry and Claudia. And Anita from work.
That's right. And Liana is our tour guide.
Joysters doing Ukraine.
We are.
Yes, we are. Liana, say Joy Radio again in that beautiful ass-rolling language.
Radio Radist.
That's where we are. We're talking about Ukraine and all the things that you can do as a tourist there. So we have, over the past nearly an hour, we've put flowers on our head, we've talked about cheap vodka. What else is really fantastic about getting to Ukraine?
Well, look, I love the shopping, but we really went for Ukrainian things. Like what I'm wearing today is a traditional embroidered blouse, you know, and it takes women weeks to make this. So we went for sort of a lot of the traditional things like head garlands and, you know, beautiful embroidery. There's a lot of wooden art there. So they make a rizba, which is carving and incrustation, beautiful icons that you can buy there. So we loved the markets there.
Icons are a big thing. The churches, yes, and everyone loves a picture of Jesus, don't they?
Yes, but
what other saints do they like to whack up on the wall?
The icons are actually...
Because Jesus is just whacked up on the wall.
We have to remember Ukraine took its...
Hands across America pose.
Ukraine took its religion from the Byzantium period. So we've got a lot Colourful. Of Byzantium influence. Mm. 988, there you go. I remember that from my Ukrainian history Saturday school. And so, you know, a lot of the churches are very gilded and, you know, quite beautiful, especially the Catholic churches.
As is the city.
Yes, absolutely, exactly. So, churches, visiting churches is, you know, fantastic in Kyiv, in Lviv. There's a lot of, we call them which is the domes on the churches. Mm. And, you know, over history, invaders into Ukraine, and Russia was one of them, stripped a lot of the gold off these domes because it was very valuable. They also locked down a lot of churches. They burnt a lot of books. So, you know, these churches are now opening up, and it's a really exciting tour. I did a walking tour around Lviv, and I took a lot of photos of churches. And I've got to tell you, by the end of it, I didn't know which one was which, but they were all beautiful, all beautiful.
You can't go to Europe without doing a church.
No.
Beautiful architecture, yeah.
Exactly. Mm. So, you know, museums, there's a lot of museums there. In Kyiv, there is a museum for the Holodomor, which is the man-made famine. There was a genocide in Ukraine in the 1933 where millions of Ukrainians died and people don't
was
know
Was that
about
Russians
this.
Again?
It was actually Stalin, yes. So as I said earlier, if Ukraine has survived the Stalin years, yeah. So it's a beautiful museum there, and I'd encourage people to go down there. It's very visual, but it's a very sort of poignant reminder of Ukrainian history as well.
Talking about poignant reminders, we have a message in from Daryl. Can we say the Russia with the Putin?
That's so funny.
Thank you, Daryl.
I like that.
What's borscht?
Well, it's borscht.
Thank you.
Borscht.
Rolls off the tongue.
It stains if you spill it.
Yes, exactly. Thank you for asking, Russ. Borscht is a traditional Ukrainian soup, and you've actually... experienced it. I've cooked it for you once. And yes, it's made from fermented beetroots if you're going to do it properly, because it's got a really nice sort of acidic sour taste.
So it's hipster food because it's fermented.
Served in a jar. Yeah, straight for your beard.
Yes, serve it in a jar, yeah.
Hey, that's what the flowers are for. They're for your beard.
So borscht is very Ukrainian, so let's not make a mistake about that. And you can have it as a clear broth, or you can have it with some vegetables in there. But it's a very traditional, yummy, hearty. Hearty with the vegetables, but it's a traditional staple.
And they don't have caviar there. They have pig's fat or something, you were telling me earlier.
No. Yes, well,
it's quite a step down.
It's a delicacy
from
in
a
Ukraine.
A spawning sturgeon to an obese pig.
It's called salo, and the true test if you're a Ukrainian is you will eat salo. And it is literally the fat, you know, on bacon. But these pigs are specially bred, and it's a real fine art. Look, I have to admit, when I went there, my sister and I did try it. It has to be sort of very thinly cut on some
rye
bread.
Is it like the lard, though, that you have from...
It's a bit like lard, yeah.
Hi, I'm SJ, weekday program director at Joy 94.9. Do you identify as lesbian, bi, trans, intersex, or queer? Do you love what we do and want to be involved? Joy needs you. Joy needs you. We are looking for fabulous female voices to join our weekday team. Joy is your community radio station, so let your voice be heard. Become a Joy presenter. And don't worry if you don't know how, we'll show you. Email women@joy.org.au.
Well, haven't I gone rogue on the panel today, Joe?
It has.
Interpretive dancing all over this technology here.
There's a bandicoot there somewhere. But we've learnt a lot this afternoon in the Escape Pod with our special guest, Liana. And it's got through to our listeners because they're emailing us to let us know that Chicken Kyiv is not from the Ukraine.
Ah, there's a dollar. Fine.
We've all done it now. Did we read the message? The greatest aspect about living in our awesome city is you can be proud to be a multicultural citizen, a Ukrainian gay Australian. Just be yourself, freedom. Thank you very much, 317 phone number, who said that in. There was no name on that, so we're assuming it was from the Ukraine.
Oh, no.
That's $2. Now we're just teasing
you. Just go home and practice. Ukraine.
Well, thank you very much for joining us on Joy 94.9 on the Skate Pod today.
It's been a terrific show. Russ, have you had fun in your first in-studio show?
I cannot believe how much I've learned today. I am going to keep calling it the Ukraine because that's what I do.
Oh,
you know, it's going to cost you a fortune.
You can only fly there for $16.99, I found out today, so it was good.
Excellent.
Thank you for coming in today, Liana. You are wonderful.
Have a great day. Joy 94.9.
Dopobachnya.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.